the CBS 2 Information Network.
Pat, we are just currently getting a look at the World Trade Center.
There was a tremendous boom. Oh, my God almighty, the black smoke all over the place.
Iowans were jolted out of a classic autumn morning just after 7:45 when the first airliner impaled the World Trade Center. This unidentified barista worked behind the counter of a downtown Des Moines coffee shop.
I have a brother in the military. He's supposed to get out this month, actually, but I don't think he's going to because I think we're going to go to war.
You know, you think of what a leader is supposed to do in a circumstance like this.
A few hours after hijackers crashed the fourth airliner, Governor Tom Vilsack met with reporters.
When you consider the violence that's been leveled at our country, oftentimes the most powerful response to that is prayer.
It felt just a few moments ago like there was an explosion of some kind here at the Pentagon.
An Iowa National Guardsman was close enough to the impact that flames blew past his Pentagon window. John Grody from Atlantic joined survivors in the rescue effort.
It was very difficult. We were like five or six of us in a line going into this room and had sequestered a number of fire extinguishers because we were shooting the fire extinguisher over the shoulder of the guy in front of us to keep the flames off them as we tried to get to the people we could hear still alive inside the Navy Operations Center.
Grody earned a Purple Heart that day for burn injuries caused by flaming jet fuel.
I do have a strange thing that when I walk in the Pentagon, I still smell smoke. I don't know that I'll ever get over that.
Meanwhile, in Sioux City, a squadron of F-16 fighter jets scrambled to provide air cover over Omaha and to protect a VIP later in the day. Brian Miller, Scott Plambeck, and Kurt Kinshue all flew on 9/11.
We had a quick meeting, and I sat everyone down around the table, and I said, you know, in light of what's happening, there is some chance we're going to be asked to shoot an airliner down today.
That's where we're at right now. We're at war. So let's break the seals on the munitions and let's go. And within 15 minutes, I think we had our first missile on board the airplane.
I never thought, driving through the cornfields of the Midwest that morning to come to work, that I'd actually talk to the pilot of Air Force One.
Just as President Bush was leaving Louisiana for Offutt Air Force Base at Omaha, a mysterious civilian plane was in the air over Nebraska. Michelle Stauffer was flying a Cessna with the radio turned off, unaware that airspace had been shut down. She finally checked in as she approached Omaha.
They seemed panicked in their voice almost. And they said, well, we've opened Fremont for you. You need to descend rapidly and land immediately. And I'm coming down as fast as I can without pretty much ripping your ears off. And then she comes back and she says, well, we need you on the ground immediately. We have two special F-16s descending on you.
One of the flyers intercepting the plane was Sioux City native Bobby Dorenbos, among the first female F-16 pilots in the country. Once the Cessna landed and President Bush left Omaha, two fighters escorted Air Force One across Iowa on the return to Washington. In the days after 9/11, thousands of Iowans attended services and tributes for those killed, including Senators Grassley and Harkin at Drake University.
I assure you that the United States will hold accountable those responsible for these attacks on American soil. And I mean hold accountable in the here and now.
Senator Harkin nearly broke down when he revealed this personal loss.
And I know every Iowan will reach out a hand of kindness to those touched by tragedy. Our former paperboy. Little Timmy Haviland lost his life.
More Iowans died in the shadow of 9/11 than those killed on 9/11. President Bush's response was the war on terrorism.
I was totally taken back and scared, I guess, just as any mother would be.
As Misty Stumbo watched the news coverage that day, her son Dan was in basic training at Fort Knox. 4.5 years later, with Dan serving in Iraq and her other son, Tom, on duty in Hawaii, a car pulled up to Misty's home in Ogden.
Since I had worked with the families, I was very familiar, and I don't know if I'll be able to do this, very familiar with how the notification's done. So when they drove in my driveway, I don't know if I can do that. I knew it was one of my sons, and I had to ask, which one? And that was pretty much the only question I asked.
Dan Sesker, a sergeant in the Iowa National Guard, was killed instantly when an IED exploded near his vehicle. Today, Misty works for the Survivor Outreach Program, coordinating assistance to other Iowa families who've made the ultimate sacrifice. It all started 10 years ago.
With a lot of families, awful lot of families. It's an anniversary of what changed all of our lives, and in more ways than one. And I have a second son that just came home from Afghanistan, and our lives have been changed forever.
The Islamic Center joins.
3 days after the attacks, thousands of Iowans attended this day of mourning, a recording that is now part of Iowa's history.
And remember those who were trapped in the towers, who knew they were to die, and whose last thoughts were only of family and of their God.
For the 10th anniversary, Governor Branstad will lead a remembrance ceremony Sunday morning, with a possible flyby by the Sioux City squadron that patrolled the skies on 9/11. In Des Moines, I'm Rick Fredrickson, Iowa Public Radio News.